This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got all those Florida fans, they're driving 95 right now all over the place, Danny.
You know it hurts me internally to, like, play this. You know that, Blue.
Well, how come you didn't play the Hurricane song when Andrew Ivins came on? See, you don't do that. Now you...
Ask and you shall receive.
Oh, well. Well, you know what? Our next guest, Jackie Fraiciulli, is a Hurricane at heart, but she is covering the Florida Gators. It's been a huge week. Probably since this game has been announced since the end of last season that these two teams would get together originally on the 31st. Now it's the 24th. It's the only game in town. Everybody has been – it's fever pitch. By Friday night, it's going to go crazy. O-Town is going to spill over. And then Saturday, the game at 7 o'clock at night. And Jackie Fraiciulli, who covers the Gators for Gators Territory, is kind enough to join us. Jackie, thanks so much for joining us during a huge week. Maybe not as big as the FSU week, but still a big week.
Oh, no, it's a great week. It's a big week. And I don't know. I think the trash-talking levels is reaching FSU levels.
Oh.
But, yeah, Well, I don't know. I've been hearing a lot of trash talking from the Florida players. Kyrie Campbell yesterday. I asked him who stood out on the Miami offense, and he said, "Who stood out?" Well, I don't know. I faced against the best defensive line in the country. He didn't really want to answer it, and I don't know. Everyone's got their blood pumping. They're just ready to play football, and it happens to face a team that they don't really face a lot, and it's an in-state rival, so everyone's getting up for this.
And it's funny that you bring that up, because from 1926 to 1987, they played every year but one. And, I mean, it was one of the hottest rivalries maybe in the country. I mean, you had – and then all of a sudden it just – you know, that was it. And Florida, you know, I mean, down here, everybody, oh, Florida used the excuse. The SEC is tough. We can't, you know, we'd much rather, you know, take a lighter opponent and, you know, when we have to go outside. And then, you know, all the talking back and forth. But the very fact that they are back together is important, because it becomes a classic now. Every time that they play is going to be deemed a classic. I remember when they played in the Sugar Bowl that year. And you take a look at this series, and it was heated. When I was a kid, that was a game. I mean, you had to dial it up for the Gators. FSU wasn't one of the better teams in the country. But you look at Florida-Miami, it's been a natural rivalry. Now it's kind of like taking a back seat to a lot of the other rivalries. But it still has a lot of split families. I know here at this radio station, you have UM and Florida people living together. And you yourself, you know, having a kinship to Miami, but having to be around Florida every day. What's it been like in Gainesville? What's the mood like from the fans, from the players, from the coaches? What's it been like for them getting ready for a rival like this?
Well, I think people are just ready to play college football. I think I think ever since, you know, the end of last season, Florida fans were just so excited about beating Michigan in the Peach Bowl and just looking forward to see what's next. And just add to the fact that you're facing an in-state rival, just doubled that excitement. I think a lot of Gator fans are particularly interested in this game because Dan Mullen has not had the success that they want on the recruiting trail.
Right.
And they understand that this would be a big win for them, because think about it this way. They blow out Florida State to end the regular season last year. If they get a big win against the other big program in the state to start off this year, that would be amazing for the momentum for Dan Mullen in the trail and just the perception of saying, hey, we're the big guys in this state right now. This is where you want to play if you're from Florida. And that's a problem that Mullen has had, is keeping those big guys like a DeMarcus Bowman in state. Miami, they've done a good job with some of the South Florida kids. So Mullen wants to make sure he continues on by going to South Florida, picking the kids that they want and winning that. And what a better way to do that by showing how far the program has done against the team that they're fighting on the recruiting trail. A lot of Gator fans are excited about that. If you go on social media, I feel like I've seen so much trash talking since January and so many edits from both programs, little snide remarks here and there from players. And I just want the football game to play because it's just been so much talking and the energy just keeps increasing and increasing. So and add to the fact that it's the only game in town, it's just a lot of energy.
But how did it get to this point? Because you look back at January 1st, 2nd, whenever the game was announced that it was going to be, and Miami had just come off a bad loss to Wisconsin in the Pinstripe Bowl. Florida, as you mentioned, just mauled Michigan after mauling their biggest rival in Florida State. And everybody felt, with what Miami had coming back, what Florida had coming back, this is a classic mismatch. How did it get to this point where now everybody thinks that Miami, is right there? I mean, has there been that much a difference without playing another game? I mean, just because they changed coaches, they hit the portal a little bit, and they got a few transfers that did well. Has they made this game? Because I'll tell you, I had people coming up to me last year and go, oh, man, if they play that game today, Florida beat them by 24 points. What's changed? Because Florida's still the same team. They still have a lot of really good kids coming back. Their quarterback situation was resolved a long time ago. And here's Miami just got theirs resolved to go seven days ago.
Yeah, I think even before everything, I think the O-line for Florida was always a question mark going into the season. And we know that Miami's front seven is very talented. So everyone knew that battle was a battle to watch for Florida specifically. They could have as many weapons that they want in the offense, but they can't establish a win and aggressiveness in the line of scrimmage. They're not going to win. So I think that's something that all Florida fans understand. But I think the whole change of the narrative happened after Florida's offseason. They received such negative press in the offseason, and the perception was changing of the program. And I think that's where things kind of started switching a bit for Florida. I think that's where a lot of things, because look at all the transfers away from the program, especially in the secondary. They had a lot of stuff going on. Chris Steele transferred out. Then you had CJ McWilliams this summer saying, he's out for the season with Achilles. Now, a lot of people are going to say, CJ McMillan's not going to start. But he was a role player. He was a good guy to back up, especially when John Huggins was then dismissed from the program. So now you have Amari Burney now playing both linebacker and star. He's backing up Trey Dean, and he's also at linebacker for number one position. But, you got those issues in the secondary now. And then Brad Stewart is wearing a red non-contact jersey in practice the last 2 days. So you're thinking, okay, so this is where all those things are coming along. Secondary depth concerns. We've got a lot of true freshmen on that depth chart in the two deep. You've got Pierre Elam. You've got Jaden Hill and Chester Kimbrough. They're all in the two deep in the secondary. Are we going to see a true freshman in that secondary on Saturday? And then on the O-line, you have freshmen in the two deep too.
Yeah.
So you can see where things were kind of going the other way. I personally still think Florida has more talent at the moment, more developed talent anyways, and more veteran experience in key positions. But you can see where some of that narrative started changing after the offseason that Florida had.
Yeah, no doubt. That's Jackie Franciulli. You can follow her on Gators territory. You'll have everything going, fever pitch the rest of the week. We're going to be watching. Danny and I watch you all the time, watch all your social media posts. It's getting exciting. I can't wait for the game. Jackie, again, thanks so much for taking the time and getting people all riled up here.
Oh, yeah, I'm just ready to go. I wish the game was tomorrow.
Yeah, me too. Well, I appreciate it. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon and enjoy.
All right, thanks for having me.
Good stuff. Jackie Franciulli from Gators Territory.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.